Ready?
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
He's recording now. You
ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to turn the thing away from just so Jeremy can't see it anymore.
All right. This is Crippled System, episode 20. I've been told there are like 19 before this. I am Katie Badhorse on the forums, and I play Circle.
You needed more of a comma there. It sounded like you're Katie Badhorse.
Yeah,
Katie
I am.
Badhorse.
I'm Katie the Badhorse.
Yeah, she is.
And that's,
I won't even,
that's
I won't
her
even
Indian
carry
name.
That anymore, but yeah. I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418. My voice is still dead from Adepticon. I play Retan Legion.
We can only wish your voice was still dead.
Oh, man, yesterday I could not talk.
No, that's not true. You talked a lot yesterday.
So you were super, super drunk on Saturday.
That was true.
And like you were being really obnoxious. And Chad's like, man, he's obnoxious when he's drunk. And I'm like, why did you keep talking after the word obnoxious?
I was blitzed and incredibly hyper off Red Bull, yes.
Oh, my God. See, you kept talking to us, and none of us wanted that to happen.
I couldn't make myself stop. I had fun.
Just don't give him anything
alcohol.
In the table, because he'll just knock it all
together.
Over.
Alcoholic energy drinks, I hear you and Andy have had fun experiences with.
Yeah, when you want to pass out and you can't, it's always a good experience.
Yeah. That, when I drink, I get really, really tired. And when you can't sleep, when you're drunk, it sucks so much.
My sleep thing on my phone says that I sleep slightly better if I drink that day. It's like 5% better.
Your sleep thing on
She's
your
got a phone app
yeah.
that like measures how well she sleeps.
How did
there is a thing where if you have one drink a day,
you,
it's
you get
to be
a magic
a lot
eight ball, you,
there
you shake it, and it tells you if you slept well. That
like,
day.
Do you wake up and the first thing you do is
Science
tell the phone how well you slept?
No,
it's
it measures
alarm
how
clock.
Well you sleep.
How does it measure?
It uses the
vibrations on the bed,
vibration center thingies on
if
the screen.
So you sleep with your phone like on your bed all the time.
You sleep with it on the like not under your pillow, but like on the corner of the bed like that, and then it wakes you up in the morning when you're like at the end of a REM cycle, like so you're coming up.
Are you sure that works with a memory foam? Don't you guys have memory foam?
We do, it and does. It does still work.
It does still work.
Really?
Because it lets you test it to see if it
would
can
it work
it.
In a hammock.
I'd probably fall through the hammock.
What about a banana
netting.
Hammock?
How well do you sleep in my banana hammock?
I don't think anyone sleeps well in your banana hammock.
That's
mate.
True, baby.
Well, it depends what time it is. If it's before, after.
Well, I think Jeremy's during. Point was nobody would ever fit in.
Nobody
that
would ever fit
hammock.
In Nathan's banana hammock, you know.
Because
so,
it's full of my giant penis.
No.
I think that's what he
it's
was
so
going
small.
With. Yeah. See, but that
the
would,
banana hammock is so small.
Yes,
but then he would just buy a bigger size.
Yeah,
you're not making any sense. But anyway, there's a guy on Scrubs who wears banana hammocks, and it's a good show.
Todd.
Yeah,
can be a good show. It has some miss episodes, in my opinion.
Well, by and large, it's pretty good. I have
by
it
and
is
large,
pretty good.
It's a good
Raylene has an ex-boyfriend whose name is Todd, who is exactly like Todd on Scrubs, so it's really surreal.
So he's maybe
is that the
gay?
Target team lead?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
No.
Guy.
I told you about her husband, who actually is gay.
Okay. Okay. Maybe her husband and Todd are good friends?
Maybe.
I mean, her ex-husband.
Well, right.
Obviously.
So...
By the way, I'm Nathan Riddia fan on the forums.
I was just about to ask that. Are
our
we actually going to finish the intro?
Our intros are always such a train wreck.
Whatever. I'm Andy. I play Troll Buds.
Brian, Carnage for you. I play Makeda 3.
Yeah.
And Jim, I play a siren.
Just a siren? Just mm-hmm. one war witch siren?
On Borderlands, he plays a siren.
On Borderlands, I play a siren.
Oh, okay.
Rekindled my love for the siren.
She's good.
She is good.
You use the mind control skill. That's a clutch skill.
Oh, it's
the
really,
worst skill
really
ever.
Amazing.
Worst skill ever.
It's really good for the bad guys in the middle of an arena fight.
Yeah. Really helps them out.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's just really good for the bad guys at any point.
Yes.
Yeah, that skill does not hit the mark. That is for sure.
Well, on the bright side, it makes it so that your really good skill isn't usable at all.
That's true. It does do that.
Like, it isn't even just a useless skill. It's a skill that actively eliminates your previously useful skills.
Yeah.
Like That's nail.
True. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, like nail.
I don't get it. Please explain.
You see, when nail blows up, he takes all of your focus and your spells away from you.
Uh-huh.
And
so
there's,
you can't
a rule.
Do anything.
There's a rule on Nail's card that says he must always be 8 inches from a friendly warcaster.
It's true.
Well, you want him in command. In
he
case
has the
you
rule
to take
tether.
A command check.
Right, because he's not fearless.
And that's how command checks work, too.
Oh, wait.
Would you say that playing Nail is like playing a game inside of a game?
I would say it's like playing a game of Russian roulette.
Oh.
Inside of a game of Russian roulette.
Yep.
So,
like,
there's
the bullet
a gun.
Has little mini bullets inside.
No,
of
it has.
It.
What it is you have 6 revolvers inside of a giant revolver. And each of those revolvers has one bullet in it.
That just
so you pull one trigger,
yeah,
and it chooses one of the six chambers, yeah, and that chooses one of the six revolvers, and then you see if it shoots.
Exactly.
That sounds
maybe one of the revolvers has one bullet, one has two bullets, one has three bullets, so there's 36 possible outcomes.
Because then it's equally.
I challenge Witzka to make a diagram of that, because he's the diagram master.
He knows.
Speaking of which, have you guys ever played Polish poker?
No.
It is so much fun. But we need to be drinking first, otherwise it's no fun.
Well, he's going to explain
stupid.
To us Polish poker.
Yeah.
No. No, she's just not going to.
Play poker, then you're playing Polish poker.
Yeah. Also, no. Be dumb.
All you do is you take a card and you put it on your forehead.
That's not Polish poker. It's Indian poker.
It's Polish poker.
No, it's Indian poker because it looks like a feather, and so the racist terminology that was given to it was Indian poker.
No, it's called Polish poker because only idiots play it.
That's pretty fair, too.
That's a fair statement.
Also, she's Polish.
Hey, Katie, are you Polish?
I am 50% Polish.
All right.
I don't know somewhere.
Don't worry about it. I just read on the forums that we're racist and half drunk. So just embrace it.
You know, I have to say, we get called drunk a lot in the comments. We really need to start drinking while we're podcasting.
If we're going
to
be called drunk, we might as well
enjoy it.
I've never seen us having a single drink for our podcast.
Well, if we drink near this, you'd freak out.
Yeah, you would.
I would freak out.
We'd need like baby sippy
bottles. If we could put the entire podcast equipment on stilts, then I'd be fine with it.
We need boom mics.
Beer helmets.
Okay. I hear I'm super obnoxious when I'm drunk anyway. So
you keep like again
while
that
I'm
sentence
drunk,
doesn't need to continue. You just say Jeremy is super obnoxious,
and then done.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need.
Hey, let's tell a quick Jeremy story. I'll let Andy tell it because it's one of Andy's favorite three moments from Adepticon.
Yeah, I have some great moments from Adepticon. My favorite moment is when Jeremy came up to record a game. It was during the Speed Machine, and as you know, a Speed Machine is also mangled metal.
What is this mangled metal you speak of?
That's a good question.
So Jeremy comes up with his opponent, and he's like, he's recording his game. He's like, oh, I just couldn't.
Jeremy says he lost.
Yeah, he lost. I death clocked myself. I couldn't kill. I killed everything but his caster.
I just couldn't finish him off.
Like looking at me, I'm like, what?
Me and Nick drew because of that stupid rule. The one time I killed Vale and she killed my last beast with the Talion skill or whatever.
Nice.
So his caster and my beast died at the same time. That's we freaking drew in the middle of a tournament. And Brian's like,
Oops.
Yeah, that was on the forums for a while, too. Yeah.
Nobody could. He couldn't figure out who won or lost the tournament. It was in the finals of the tournament.
They were my roommates. We'll figure out first and second later.
We'll just take both coins home.
Nice.
Yeah.
They can Rochambeau for it.
It was a draw.
Yeah, it was a draw, and he beat me on tiebreakers, so I got second.
Nice. But yeah, so apparently I don't play much Mangled Metal. I also apparently don't play much Speed Machine in general or 25 points in general because I got my butt kicked in that tournament.
You lost in 25-point Mangled Metal with Epic Lilith and two Ravagors.
Yep. Lost several times, in fact.
I'm going to say this again because I don't think you could process it on the first hearing. 25-point Mangled Metal, Epic Lilith and two Ravagors.
I had an Angelius, too.
And an Angelius.
Yeah.
And you lost.
Yep.
Most of your games.
Yep. That's true.
You're clutch.
We call you Jordan now?
My dice failed really hard.
Yeah. Bad Craftsman blames his tools.
Bad Craftsman blames not being able to hit ever. Yes.
Nate, for the record, has never blamed his dice.
Never blamed my dice in any situation.
No.
Ever.
No. Nope. He's never burned his dice.
No, the
either.
Difference is when I blame my dice, it's true. Jeremy's making excuses.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's how that works. I had a good time at Adepticon, being the only one of us who actually played in any of the tournaments. I had fun.
I was busy working 40 hours in the course of 60 hours.
Yeah, you and Andy both were just insane people.
I harassed Travis. I don't know. It was me and...
Who?
Me and Jim. Well, I'm just saying. I'm just calling him Travis.
Just to be nice.
What's his last name? Hungerford?
Hungerford.
I can't believe how bad he trolled Travis. I know. Right? That on his name badge.
What? Yeah, Travis thought that, like, so... So Jim wrote Sam on Travis's name tag because Travis left it unattended foolishly. So then I had Hungerford give it to Travis so that he wouldn't catch on. And so for the next, like, day, Travis thought Hungerford had did it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I was long gone before I figured out it was me. So.
Like, the next day, I was like, "Man, are you mad at Jim for writing that?" And he was like, "Jim wrote it. The photographer wrote that." And so he got all mad again because I reminded him. So you double trolled him.
Oh, that's wonderful. The only reason I wrote it and Brian didn't is because I beat him to the punch by about 10 seconds.
Yeah,
we were both grabbing desperately for that thing. I just beat him to it. Like, okay, where's a pen?
So word of advice: do not leave your badge unattended.
Yeah, not if you're Travis.
Not if you're Travis.
That's going to be bad for you.
But it's okay because you know what? I feel like we give Travis a really hard time on our podcast, and it's really undeserved because he really went out of his way to bring Nathan's board game K-List and my coin and Nathan's coin and Andy's coin to Adepticon because he knew he doesn't see us that often. And I really thought that was generous of him.
It was nice of him to promise that to me.
Yeah, to promise to do that.
It was a good promise. And you know, they say the thought is what counts. And you know,
which is bullshit.
That's the lesson we learned today, is that he promised to do something. It's irrelevant that he didn't. We should just be thankful for the promise.
It's not a genuine thought, though, if he didn't follow through on his promise.
He thought about doing it, and then he didn't.
And then he was like, I know, I hate those
guys. I'm sure he meant to do it. The only reason I give Travis a hard time is because he's an awesome guy.
He is an awesome guy.
And I like him a lot.
He's a good guy, but I thought that was hilarious.
I promised him I would tell everyone what a great job he did running the thing.
What thing?
The
thing.
The con.
Adepticon?
The Adepticon.
Yeah, the thing. This past weekend. And the only reason I'm doing this, I mean, because he did do a great job, but also because then I'd be his favorite, he said. Which is important to me.
I don't think I'll ever get that favorite status.
I have always treated Travis with respect that he's deserved.
That is a loaded statement if I've ever heard one. That's like when the villain's like, oh, you'll get what you deserve, to his crony.
So Katie, would you say Travis is your new bestie? Or is it
Travis
so
would get up out of bed to give you a hug.
Travis probably would get up out of bed to give me a hug. But no, it's fine.
So would Keith, but he has a dick in his ass currently. So he can't quite reach you in the hug.
Wow.
I'm just saying there's so much gay sex going on with Keith. To hug you.
There were like, okay, so I took.
There's a lot of dude in that room.
We went up to say hi to the mom crew, and we got in there, and there's like, I don't know, six guys in the room.
Too many.
It smells like butt, and it's hotter than hell in the room.
I don't think it smelled like butt. It smelled like balls.
Okay, yeah, same difference.
It smelled like balls that were in butts.
It smelled like humid, like boys who had been trapped in.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Like a hot pot.
I was like, this is miserable and we're all leaving. Hi, guys.
Keith was very comfortable in that bed with his companions.
I made him get up anyway.
Speaking of Keith, somebody had a great idea. Somebody needs to steal Keith's Epic Gatsby conversion, that really awesome whatever one that he's got all painted. It needs to be stolen, and Gatsby's cloak needs to be painted to match the shirt that Keith always wears. That pink paisley monstrosity.
Yeah. Well, I got a picture of his painted Gatsby. I meant to tweet it. I'll have to tweet it later.
We'll show it to the podcast. Hold it up to a microphone. You're so useful.
There we go. Here we go. Put it on video. Here we go. There.
That's you're the best.
I don't think you'd have to steal it to do that. I think Keith would volunteer that.
No, you're like, you do that. Keith was like, no, that's not happening.
Really?
That means it has to happen.
Well, you know what you could do is you could actually maybe get just like a clipping of his shirt, of the actual shirt itself.
And then glue it right on
And yeah, like a Superman.
So then you'd
cape.
Ruin his Gatsby and his shirt. He would love you so much.
If someone went to Keith's scissors and snipped it, he probably just would pass out.
Yeah.
And then later, you'd freaking wake up with a bomb in your mailbox or
that
something.
Person would have that Gatsby model as a suppository.
Right?
I've reassembled that model for him, and that would be painful.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. So I guess we could each talk about our Adepticon experiences real quick.
Sure.
Since we've been touching on random happenstances.
Random touching.
Adepticon is random.
Mine was pretty straightforward. I worked for 12 hours, then slept for an hour, then worked for 15 hours, then slept for 8 hours, then worked for 12 hours, then went home.
To be fair, I think you slept for an hour and a half the first time because you were in my hotel room.
That was before my shift. We got to Adepticon. I slept for an hour and a half.
Yes.
Then I worked 12 hours, slept for an hour, worked et cetera, 15, et cetera.
Yeah, we woke him up at one point because we had food for him, and he looked at us like he wasn't really sure who or what we were.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah,
so then the next day you're like, the next day you're boopity beepity?
Pooka de Beppos.
Beepity boppity?
Oh, it was delicious.
But like the next day, you're like, yeah, sorry, we woke you up. We thought you might want food. And I'm like, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I don't remember
well,
ever
the
being
food
woken
got,
up.
Something happened to the food, so I'm assuming you ate it in your sleep.
The boobity-bebbities?
Yeah, the boobity-bebbities.
I did not eat any boobity-boobities.
Somebody did.
I think Jordan. There you go. Brian broke into the room while I was sleeping to eat my boobity-bebbity boobs.
That was probably Jordan.
It was not Jordan, because I would not have been able to sleep in that room that night if it had been Jordan.
So is boobity-bebbity boobs like a Cinderella spinoff restaurant?
No, it's an Italian restaurant. It was started by two like Hollywood types, so I can never remember who they are.
So it's an Italian restaurant whose name is just racist mockery of Italians talking on Family Guy?
It's Buca de Beppo's.
Because all I hear when you say that is that scene from Family Guy where he's got the mustache, so he and another guy, he thinks he can speak Italian because he has a mustache, and he's going, hey, bibbidi boobidi bobbidi.
No, it's been around for a while, Buca de Beppo's.
Bibbidi.
How have you never heard of Buca de Beppo's?
Bibbidi boobidi.
It's called Buca de Beppo's.
Bacon
of bagels?
Bacon of.
No, it's not. I can't pronounce it anymore because you pronounce
it
wrong. Is it Benvenuto's?
No, it's
Benvenuto's.
Benvenuto's.
No, Benvenuto's.
Buca de Beppo's. It's a
boobity.
It's a Chicago restaurant.
Yeah,
Italian place.
It's delicious.
Bibbidi Bobbos.
Bibbidi Bobbos.
Why would Beckos? You know anything Bobbidi that you didn't need to about
Why
Chicago?
Why don't you just call Lena and ask her about it? She'll tell you all about it.
How do you pronounce
Bibbidi
Bobbos?
She's a big fan of Bazinga.
It was delicious.
Wonderful.
So who's doing their Adepticon summary decks?
Yes.
Oh, I also went Portillo's. Made me happy. Whenever I'm in Illinois, I always make a trip to Portillo's because it's delicious.
It was pretty good.
I was sad we did not hit up a Long John
it
Silver's.
Was food.
It's been too long since I've driven past Long John Silver's on the way to a convention.
I remember that I do not like malts when we went to Portillo's.
Yeah. I ordered a shake and they gave me a malt by mistake, but I like malts, so it was okay. But I was in the mood for a shake, but I'd made do.
I kind of want a shake right now.
That would be delicious.
I'd buy you a malt.
Malts are amazing.
I don't like malts.
Except for from TCBY.
Well, that's because it's really milk.
We had milk with malt stuff thrown in it.
Ugh.
It has a malt, like no ice cream.
Well, TCBY doesn't have ice cream at all anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
The Y does not stand for ice cream.
I know, but there was no frozen yogurt nor ice cream in this malt.
It was just milk. Malted milk?
It was milk with malt mix thrown in it and ugh. Flavoring. It was
that's gross.
Hideous.
I don't understand.
Yeah, neither did we. Like, you get out and it's a hot day, like, oh, I want some of this malt, like, what the hell? And then you drink it again. Like, oh, and then we just both threw him out.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
That's gross.
I would have taken him back.
We were in the middle.
We were in the middle.
The store.
Yeah.
We
were
something
doing
going on
something.
That day.
Yeah.
Just throw him right back at the store.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, there's shock disbelief at some point where you don't even know how to complain about something.
That's true.
It's like you gave me a glass of milk.
Yeah,
a nasty glass of milk.
Similar experience to me as I was at Wendy's ordering my drink, and they always fill the drinks behind the counter. So I watch a guy put my cup down, start filling the drink, and I watch the tip of the soda dispenser fall into my drink. Then watched him fish it out with his hands, put it to the side, put the cap on, and hand me the drink.
Oh.
I was in so much shock, I just didn't know what to do. I'm like, thank you.
Thanks.
Just left the store and threw it away.
That's pretty much what I did, is I just dumped it in the parking lot.
Yeah. Nice.
And that was Adepticon.
Yep.
Oh, I had more Adepticon to talk about.
Okay.
I have
oh, my
reports.
Holy
oh, no.
Fucking fuck. Are you kidding me? This is War and Peace.
Okay, you lost all your games.
You
can,
no. I didn't lose all
How
my
you
games.
You didn't have a winning.
You
was
can,
the best player in Madison.
You were the only player in Madison.
No, there were four
no,
of us,
Dan
and I beat
too.
All of the other three.
You were the only player on this podcast.
You can
yes.
scan that thing and post it on Face Fredders.
I'll go quick. I'm not going to go into detail.
Oh.
My God, guys.
No, seriously. No, we're skipping this. You'll have your own special
you
section later.
Talking quickly in
we'll all leave
do.
The room at the end.
You know what
you'll
can
be
do?
At, you'll be
no,
at the end.
No, I have something. I have something special for the end.
It's going to look like Andy's turning the podcast off, but he's not. We're all
going to
leave the room.
Stand here,
Jeremy, just give me a couple minutes.
Jeremy, all right, I'll tell you what.
Have a highlight.
5 seconds. Wait.
No, I need more than 5 seconds.
No. In 5 seconds, you'll have a minute. And
I need more than a minute.
2 minutes, go.
All right, so I played in the hardcore with Illilith. First round, totally failed to kill P. Madrak, because it turns out I just couldn't hit him. He was camping nothing. Couldn't kill him with two Ravagors and an Angel. Angelius. So then round two.
Minute 45.
Killed the guy. Round three with P. Round three, didn't care. And then round four, I won on Dice Down because I'm so good with Illilith. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, I did better. I went 3-1. One of those was the bye because Andy made me sit there for 45 minutes.
Minute 30.
45 minutes, goddamn you, Andy, while the other guy clocked out that wasn't even there. It was Zombie Dude. And I played Pythag's Needle for that. So since you guys are being dicks, I will stop there. I was going to give people some interesting strategic advice, but fuck
hey,
you guys.
Hey, you have another minute and 13 seconds.
I'm done.
Dude, you have a minute and 10 seconds left. No. Now you're just being obstinate.
Yep.
Jeremy, you have a minute and 5 seconds left. Nobody likes that kind of
attitude. Come on. Well, no, like, just... Elilith,
a minute.
Not my favorite tournament caster. I lost one game in each of the two tournaments I was in strictly on dice, where I should have killed the guy, but once you don't kill on Elilith's feet turn, you're done.
That's kind of like Raven. Assassination caster.
Yeah, just like Raven.
It's just like Raven. You're just done. Pythagoras, much more solid. Also, there were a shit ton of Colossals at the tournaments. What? Just a shit ton of them.
That is not how Raven operates.
No, Raven doesn't have to operate that way, but Elilith does. Especially in Theme Force when she gets no Fury Management.
I've watched her tear apart armies, too.
Her Theme Force is so bad.
Who's Theme Force?
Elilith. She has no Forsaken, no Shepherds.
No, but she's got all sorts of amazing bonuses in there.
Not at 35 points. She's got shit nothing.
That sounds like a poor choice on your part.
No, like, you're like really, that's what she really doesn't get anything.
Well, then why did you play it? I don't understand.
Because I needed a Theme Force, and so I played it.
Aren't there like 10
There's
other casters in that faction?
Good.
There probably are. There weren't any I could come up with on short notice.
In where?
35 points.
All right, you're done talking. Katie, how was your Adepticon?
It was good. I went down with Brian and Jim. We left Saturday morning at like 7. They were a little
6:58.
Late.
6:58.
They were a little late. But we still made it on time.
And then they got to our house 45 minutes before you were ready.
We were there at
He told
six,
me after 7.
And I was there at 6:45.
And luckily, Katie managed to find 30 minutes on the road somehow.
Well, you know, there's shortcuts.
Hey, the speedometer goes up to 3 digits. You gotta use them all.
Yeah, she did.
They wouldn't put them on there if they weren't meant to be used.
Right.
I'd just like to point out...
Construction zones, come on, they're fine.
They're always there. Yeah. There are really more suggested speed limits, especially when there aren't any people.
They're all diving for cover in terror.
But no, we had fun. We went to go see Oblivion down there.
Yes.
We got to troll Travis a little bit.
When she said we had fun and then immediately said we went to see Oblivion, just so you know, those two are not related.
No.
I enjoyed Oblivion. It wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen.
Sorry, I interrupted you. We trolled Travis a little.
We trolled Travis a little bit. We ate like 30 different times throughout the day.
We didn't go out with like, we kept meeting in different groups. We kept going like,
and we like, oh, let's go eat. Okay.
And then Jim ditched us and went back up with Jordan, and Brian and I rode back up together and stopped for a pretzel. And that was
and
my
you
day.
You met several people that were excited to meet you. People were asking me all Friday where Katie was.
Well, I was the important one of the,
apparently,
of the couple.
Well, of the podcast in general.
I don't know that that's true, but yeah. Of the couple. But that was my day. I went to go pick up a puppy afterwards.
You met Teenage.
I met Teenage.
Tony the Tiger.
Him and I are Facebook friends now, so I'm just saying Keith has some competition.
Are you laughing about how one of my games went?
No, I'm laughing. I was looking at your thing, and I got I was pretty drunk and don't clearly remember the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was
last
one of your
in the
reports.
Tier tournament. Oh, yeah, my last game in the tier tournament, I don't remember how it ended. I was so drunk. I won.
You did one. You think he might have forfeited.
I think he might have forfeited.
Honestly.
You know, that's your best tournament strategy. Get drunk on Jaeger bombs. Nobody will stand to be around you. You will win every game. They'll just be like, I'm done.
Jeremy,
done. You win.
No, he was having fun. It was me and him, and then Ben Lang was right next to us. Brian Culp was playing Ben Lang. And the four of us were just chatting the whole time, not really even like playing the game.
Didn't,
it was hilarious.
It wasn't Ben Lang getting your sloppy seconds
he
off
was
your drink.
Okay, so he had just a little bit of my drink after I was done with it that Teenage made for me, and he got so drunk and hyper, he went and played like a 75-point game in Iron Arena at 4:30 when the tournament ended.
Wow.
You were not drunk enough.
I was pretty drunk.
No, you were not drunk enough. You were not escorted back to your room via wheelchair.
No, the lack of it wasn't even escorted back to his room.
He was
just left in a wheelchair.
No, the reason why the wheelchair was there in the first place.
What was that other guy that was belligerent in round three?
Yeah.
No.
There was one guy that was escorted out of there in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
And then the wheelchair was brought back.
The reason it was brought there in the first place was because the guy twisted his knee, so I went and got the wheelchair.
Correct.
I didn't know there was a middle part there where someone actually used it.
There were some very, very drunk individuals.
But yeah, that guy slept for 10 hours in the middle of the floor in a wheelchair.
Well, for those of you that aren't aware, that guy would be named Nate Hoffman.
Yeah. No, he even tweeted it in Brian's like, Privateer Press won't like that he's drunk and passed out. Like,
how would I take a picture and tweet of myself?
You were drunk. Someone took your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
There were some super drunk
people
that
night.
You always
take pictures of yourself.
That's true.
I have the superpower to take pictures of myself from 10 feet away.
Yeah. And while taking off your coat, which I find pretty impressive.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker, used to always take pictures of himself.
Yeah, that's true. Right. He did.
You have to delete this podcast. The world can't know that I'm Spider-Man. Or that I use the Spider-Man.
Speaking of that, that was my favorite moment. That was my favorite moment of all of Adepticon. Is on the drive down, Katie's like, you know, I think I'm going to buy you some Kleenexes and lotion.
Yep. Yeah,
well,
my wife.
His hands are really dry, so I need to get him some good lotion. And he's had the sniffles.
Right.
No, she really did not realize the connection.
Oh,
they had to point it out.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeremy. Yeah. She's not that dense.
Well,
according to Lewis
aside, yeah.
Lewis thinks she is.
And
Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall and Curious George both have something to say about that.
There's.
So Jeremy was the only one who actually played in events.
I was the only one, and I played Iron Arena too.
Well, I mean,
well, Jordan was there.
I played a couple Iron Arena games.
We had four players there. They're just not on the podcast.
I played an Iron Arena game on one of the special setup tables, and the table was literally 90% rough terrain because it was like a bridge over this ice flow, and so we decided to treat the ice flow as rough terrain.
Who would make a board like that?
No,
but the thing is, we didn't discuss what size game we were playing.
That was very interesting.
We didn't discuss what size game we were playing, and so he thought we were playing a 35-point game, because I guess that's what he'd been playing all weekend, and I had been playing 50-point games all weekend. So I took 50 points against him. Yeah, he was a good guy, whatever. But the thing is, honestly, I think I would have done better at 35, because all my shit is just jammed into this bridge. I'm just getting in my own way. It's all, and I'm like, I just wish I had less stuff right now. And it turns
out,
that's
really unfortunate.
It was the worst time to play 15 points up.
That guy, though, I don't know if you saw his. He had an epic virus list. It's the guy I was playing when you guys were leaving. His stuff looked really good. I like the way his epic virus.
Yeah, like
stuff
a black looked and red theme.
Yeah,
cool.
With like a nice cloth.
As I've always said, any scheme except for the studio one looks great on Retribution.
That's true.
Red and black is what I painted most of Ben's, right?
Yeah, you painted like 98% of his army really well.
Yeah.
Everything's
upside
casters.
Down knee guards even looked good.
Yeah. 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 That was an interesting one to get to and paint. Like, oh, this knee pad is on upside down. Meh, paint it.
That's that guy's shtick now. He's got the upside down knees.
I have some of the. And,
just
some
one. Yeah, that was right.
The arms run backwards. I'm like, yeah, they're undead.
A lot of people put Mort Nebra backwards.
Somebody,
so she's got the legs in the back and her cloak's just going in front.
Yep.
It was really bothering Keith. Somebody assembled their Gatsby backwards, so instead of leaning forward, he was leaning back. Or
the other way around.
Backwards, he was leaning forwards. And Keith was like just standing there staring at it. I was like, Keith, what's going on? He's like, that Gatsby is backwards. And he's still staring at it. I was like, your point would be? He's like, no, he's backwards. I was like, okay.
I like that while you were demonstrating leaning forward and backwards, I could hear Andy's soul shattering watching you get further from the microphone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's one way where sound can convey your body posture.
Exactly. Right. That is true.
I also like the totem hunter whose knee was glued into his hip socket.
Oh, my God. The paddle wheel totem hunter.
Who bought that? Somebody bought that off of me. I don't remember who bought the paddle wheel totem hunter.
I don't know. That thing was amazing, though. If you have a conversion for a totem hunter, and you have a totem hunter, you want to convert it, just glue the knee into the hip socket and then do both legs that way. You'll have like a little spinny runner. Oh my God. It looked brilliant.
I think I still have them. They'd be good for a conversion, but one time I bought a blister of Night Wretches and it had like 16 legs in there. Like whoever was assembling the blister just kept throwing legs into the box. So I just had a ton of extra bone jack legs. I could have done a centipede
or something.
You gave
those to me already.
Oh, did I give those to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, they're in my bits box.
Yeah, someone needs to make a centipede out of that.
I've heard there's a movie about making a centipede. Is that where Brian was going?
No. I was thinking the cankerworm could be stretched out and give him a bunch of little legs.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, actually. Did you want to say anything else? I mean, I could talk about Adepticon more.
Awkward silence.
I was letting other people get in.
Why did it suddenly go silent after the mention of the cankerworm?
I don't know. Me, Brian, and Katie both had pretty much the same summary.
They drove down way too quickly, talked about masturbation, ate Portillo's, and 800 other things. Did you eat any bubble?
No, we didn't.
No, I did that for
We went to some, John, when the guys from
you
Iowa.
You went to the John?
Yeah, John from Iowa came in. Fat Asian, we'll call him.
Speaking of Fat Asian, I guess I don't know if we want to steal his thunder, because he's probably going to talk about his podcast.
People gave him free stuff.
Awesome. And it was super awesome. It was super awesome.
It was all nice. Donated by Privateer Press.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a very touching and awesome thing for an awesome guy.
Yeah, I had 1 8-hour stretch over the entire weekend that I could sleep, and it was directly in front of me taking the judge test, so I decided to use it and actually sleep. But I almost stayed up just to wait for him to get there so I could see him when he gave that stuff.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, he took us to some bar place, which had
which
a really
got
good
Chad
dessert.
Super sick.
Did it?
Yeah. Chad was so sick you couldn't play in Masters.
Yeah, that's why Chad was in a Masters. That's how Keith got in.
He got the shrimp scampi, which apparently was a bad decision.
Yep.
I don't get seafood ever anywhere. Partially because it's always going to poison you, and also because it tastes like crap.
You never get seafood because, you know, I watched Drop Dead Gorgeous. That's how she won the whole beauty pageant.
Mm-hmm. Never so trust something else. That takes its garbage can or... What is it? Craps in his home?
I can't remember. I
crap in my home. What's your bathroom outside?
I forget what was it. Oh, man, that was a great quote, and I can't do it.
Way to butcher it, though. Good job.
Good job.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, somebody's got to watch
Drop
Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most fun I
own it
was on the way down, some of the car conversation, some of the inappropriate things. Someday we're going to we'll deal with Jeremy and one of the things we learned about him.
I'd almost forgot about it. No. Thank you.
We'll save it for later.
Was Katie telling you way too much about Jeremy?
Oh, man.
He said some terrible things about Jeremy.
Oh, man.
When Jeremy was drunk, he accidentally told me some extra stuff, I think.
We should compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I now know exactly how many women Jeremy has slept with.
It's true, you do.
And I know what percentage of those women he has married.
I don't know. Spoiler alert, very high percentage.
Triple digits, baby. Can't get much better than that.
Here's the thing. You never told me it was a secret.
She told us, and I swear there's like a moment of silence, and me and Jim just realized how terrible this information is. It's like, wow, at some point... we're waiting for Jeremy to have a good day, and we're just going to ruin it. We're just going to destroy
you, Katie, for that.
You're welcome.
You're awesome.
I want to see if you can figure out what it is that I
maybe
told
episode, we'll save it for episode 50.
Yeah.
It'll probably be spoiled later on.
No,
every
really
episode he's
going to
guess.
Oh,
is it about the hooker I killed?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell him what it is because it's just so terrible. I don't want to. The words are dirty in my throat as they come out.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
I wanted to give a hint, but there's no possible hint that won't immediately draw the conclusion.
Yeah. It involves diapers and his sexual preferences.
That'd be a better anyway. Anyway, that was my best part of the weekend, is being the greatest thing over in
the world.
Does it involve vampire teeth fleshlights?
If only.
Anyway.
Is it as horrible as Oblivion apparently was?
Oblivion
wasn't horrible. It was Moon, and Moon has more...
It was Moon and Wally.
Moon has more Sam Rockwell.
Moon has a better... I don't know. It's more interesting, maybe because I've already seen it.
No, there wasn't
and Moon
like
doesn't
a,
try to be an action flick, maybe?
There wasn't like a climax to it. I didn't feel like.
And Moon definitely had one.
It just kind of like
Moon was awesome. I have not seen Oblivion yet. I'm kind of interested
in
seeing it.
It's kind of a horrible spoiler to even say that it's like Moon. Mm. But the end of Moon was the middle of Oblivion. So the end of Moon was this huge like climactic point where you're like, oh my God, and like your mind is kind of blown. And, the middle of Oblivion did not blow your mind.
No.
Plus, then there's a whole half a movie still to go.
Yeah.
Well, they make all movies too long now. Like, I saw Identity Thief with one of my girlfriends, and, like, they could have cut out a whole scene, and it would have been, like, perfect length for a comedy, and instead they decided to make it, like, an hour and 45 minutes.
I've liked a lot of movies that are 60 to 80 minutes.
Yeah. Although there's a few long. A Kingdom of Heaven Uncut's really good. That's a long movie.
Like, comedies but should
a
really
movie needs
be
to be
like,
as long as it needs to be.
Yeah. Right.
Like
the
issue is like a lot of times they think that they have to be certain lengths. You know, when it used to be 90 minutes, now like 2 hours has kind of become the norm. And you need to be as long as you need to be. Like, mm-hmm. there's some amazing 4-hour long movies, and there's some garbage hour and 15 minute long movies, and they have nothing to do with the length.
Yeah, it's true.
But some movies that are horrible do have something to do with the length, though.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I think it would have been better.
Most comedy horror movies, 90 minutes is usually a pretty sweet spot.
Yeah.
The problem is everybody does try to go 2 hours these days.
Like, if you cut out the scene that they didn't need and you made it a little bit shorter, as opposed to being impatient at the end, you're still enjoying yourself when it ends. You know what I mean?
That's why you rented
there. Pacing is a thing in movies.
Kind of like how Return of the King ends 8 times.
Right.
Oh, Nathan.
And the pacing in that movie is a real freaking travesty in a lot of ways.
It is. Me and Jim saw Evil Dead on Sunday.
Yep.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Watching Katie with all the blood and gore.
Watching Katie when the girl was licking their knife.
That is the scene I was talking about where the whole audience turned sideways and covered
their eyes. I was turning sideways to avoid it, and I watched Katie going,
"Argh!" Oh, yeah. None of us watched it. We all turned away.
But I just happened to turn and see Katie just like,
it's not fast.
Getting
it's
crushed.
Like
no.
And a horrible thing happens. It's like this 10-second long, slow thing that and you're like, please stop happening. Stop happening.
That was the best movie I've seen in a long time.
Well, they do it again because like she's like trying to hit her with this big knife that you slash forests with.
I wish you guys could see the motions Katie's making right now.
A machete? She like drags it across the girl's knee, and like you can like feel it.
I was very happy with the movie.
Yeah, that movie was as intense as any horror movie should ever be. That was really good.
But you see what I was talking about before in the previous podcast? Where like it had some like cheesy nods, but it never went full on cheesy.
Which,
by the way, I have seen the original.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, she realized that as we were walking out of the theater.
Well, no,
she'd seen the original. She told me about it.
I didn't realize it was the same movie, but I realized it was the same movie when the tree raped her. And I was like, I remember this.
Did you guys see Sam Raimi's car at the beginning? Uh-uh. His car is in every movie he's ever done.
Oh, really?
It's the one, like, when they first introduced the main character and her brother goes on the back, she's sitting on an old, beaten-up, junked-out car. That's Sam Raimi's, like, first car from when he was in high school.
Nice.
It's in every movie he's ever done. Even Quick and the Dead, it's inside of a barn, and there's, like, a hole in the side of the barn that you can see through and just make out the tan paint. It's a little trivia for you.
Interesting.
But,
it wasn't that interesting.
No,
it wasn't.
I was pretending.
It was more interesting than Jeremy's stupid battle reports.
You were pretty good.
Oh, my God.
But I'd
look
also
at
like
this.
To point out that I only had to have Jeremy turn on the lights for me this morning, so not too scared.
She wasn't afraid to get out of bed or anything.
Well, no, it was like in the middle of the night. I had to get up and go pee, but I didn't want to get out of bed. So I made him get up and turn on the lights.
How did that mess with your timer?
It just says that I woke up at that time.
But I thought I was supposed to wake you up at the end of a REM cycle.
Yeah, but like it tracks it throughout.
Oh, so if you wake up too early. So
when it does, it tracks it all
night.
It's
a flexible alarm?
Yeah.
It's a flexible alarm.
Like you're like, wake me up at the REM cycle somewhere around 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
This time or before this time, if it's a good time in a REM cycle.
It's like a half hour. You can make it anywhere between like 15 minutes and an hour, but mine's like a half hour.
See, mine wakes me up never at all because I have an alarm clock because I'm not some weird hippie.
Mine is an alarm clock.
So, like, whatever. You set your alarm clock to a normal time, like a normal human being, and you wake up.
Only somebody that would eat at Panera Bread would have that app, is all Nate's saying. All
right. Panera
Hey, there's nothing wrong with an $8 grilled cheese sandwich.
Hey, lots of places charge $8 for grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah,
no,
and I don't eat
Panera.
Their fucking grilled cheese sandwiches either. I just had a grilled. I had two grilled cheese sandwiches for dinner today. It cost me like 12 cents.
I had grilled cheese sandwich before I came over here. That was my dinner.
Yeah.
We used to go to a bar that had grilled cheese sandwich, and they put bacon in it for you if you asked. Oh, it's so good.
I like tomatoes in them.
Ooh, that's an idea for Denny's.
I like grilled cheese sandwiches where they have, like, tomatoes and lettuce and onions and bacon and then, like, a burger patty underneath them.
That's pretty good, too.
And then you don't grill them. You just put them on a bun.
It's still clearly a grilled cheese with just bacon on it.
Yeah.
But
anywho, moving on.
Something else. Andy gets to do his Adepticon now.
Yeah. My Adepticon is basically mirroring Nathan's Adepticon, which is a lot of work, no sleep.
You ran Who's the Boss, though?
I did run Who's the Boss.
I'm sure that went off without a hitch.
That went completely off without a hitch. It was perfect in every single way possible.
Warning, may not be true.
There might have been things forgotten.
It was less a wheel and more of a stationary circle.
Yes. But things worked out, though. We were able to get it to work and work in a timely manner.
It worked
People
fine.
Were happy. And, you know.
It was funny, though, because, you know, The wheel, unfortunately, the lazy Susan part of it did not make the trip. So you put a spinner in the middle, which yep. worked perfectly fine. But the best part about it to me was like a couple people were like, man, I just kind of envisioned it spinning. Like, you envisioned correctly.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you can just about imagine how much my heart sank when I went to my car to pull it out of my trunk. And it was not there.
I've got a great idea. Next time, just take the other wheel as a backup just in case.
the one with the 116 spaces on it.
That's just saying, as just a small backup.
I can't fit that in my car.
You can fit it on top of your car,
right? Yeah. Oh, you should just strap it on top of your car just in case you ever need a wheel.
Yeah, just constantly, just permanently.
The best part about the trip of Adepticon is right at the very end, about an hour away from when we're supposed to leave. Only a few people know about this. I went to my car to get some miniatures because we were going to play like a cool variant game. And I opened my trunk, put my keys in the trunk, I grab my miniatures, and I go to slam my trunk, and I'm like, oh no, my keys. So then I opened the trunk back up because I didn't actually close it. And I like, look, oh, there's my miniature bag. I should grab that. So I grab my miniature bag, put it on my shoulder, I slam the trunk.
You didn't mention keys. Taking the keys out of the trunk, Andy.
No, there's a reason for that. Because that's where they ended up, and then I had to call the cops.
So, since we're talking about failing in Chicago, I did once, back in my Magic days, drive to a Chicago tournament, lock my keys in my car with my car still running.
Yep. How do you do that?
I don't know.
I had a Volkswagen, and every car should have this feature. Well, it wouldn't help with the trunk, but the driver's side door would not lock while the door was open.
My car does
it
that.
It literally will not lock while the door is open. So when you lock the driver's side door, either you're inside the car, in which case you can't have locked the keys in the car very disastrously, or you have the keys and you're outside the car. The only way to lock your keys in that car was to go in through the passenger side and just throw your keys on the floor and then leave.
I think if you can manage to lock your keys in your running car, you can manage to do what you just said.
Probably.
That does seem likely.
So, because your keys were in the ignition, so you couldn't have gotten out.
So I decided I would call the non-emergency number for the Lombard police to see if they can come and pick, you know, to open up my door. That's what they said. And the lady that answered it, we had a bad connection. And just a whole bunch of crackling. She just hung up on me. So I called back. It sounded like another bad connection. She just told me to call 911. I'm like, I'm not going to call 911 for locking my keys in the door. It was like, are you
arrested?
Are you trying to troll me? Are you trying to make me become one of the new internet, viral videos to hear somebody complain about not getting cheese on their cheeseburger at McDonald's? She actually transferred me the third time I called to 911, and they came, and I actually had to get
If there's not a baby in the trunk, I don't think it qualifies as a 911
No,
call.
I don't think so either. And
I'm mildly inconvenienced. It's an emergency.
People overuse the emergency room and 911, if I think.
The gal that came out to fix my car, or to get into my car, was not very good at it. And I ended up having to use the tools to get into my own car.
Oh, you should have saw how fast that Chicago cop broke into my car.
Really?
No, yeah. She was like, whoop, plump. I'm like, oh, my God, how's my car not stolen? It took him like 2 seconds to do it. Like, okay, then. Good thing my car's not worth anything.
Mine had some kind of weird electronic feature on it, so all the internal locks, if you would hit the button inside, would not work. So it was either because it was powered off or something. None of those electronic locks worked.
No, he did it through the freaking door.
Oh,
yeah, he slid the Jimmy down the side of the window and pop. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't think
God.
Mine allowed you to do
in
that.
In fact, your window was broken. You just, knock your window in?
He fixed the window. I actually got it fixed.
Yeah, bad timing. You could have just cut the tape and the window would have fallen down. My car got broken into once. They didn't steal the car, but they stole 42 cents. and they stole everything that was in the car, which was 42 cents in the ashtray.
I've heard this
and
story.
The CD visor I had above my the window visor that had the Muppet Show soundtrack, Bjork's Homogenic, and the Best of Gilbert and Sullivan. And I like to envision that being the most disappointed car thief ever. Like, he just like grabs that and he runs like, oh man, what did I get? The fuck?
That's like negative value. He should have charged you to rob your car.
Or I don't know what better that, or if he went, he's like, oh man, I love Pirates of Penzance.
Oh man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but most of my weekend consisted of little to no sleep and a lot of working.
At least you didn't lose your voice like me.
No, it was actually going pretty bad on Sunday, but after Who's the Boss, because I did a lot of yelling in there. I didn't use the microphone as much. But a new person added to the annals of time for Who's the Boss, Chuck Ellsworth, ended up winning it with only two wins. So
you went 2-2 and won the event.
Yep.
Well done, Chuck.
So, I mean, that just proves it. We had like four people that went undefeated in Who's the Boss. Proves that you don't actually need to win the whole thing.
No, you don't.
It's an event, not a tournament.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of it. That's what's awesome about it.
Yep. We just need to get more achievements in there.
I did leave out a couple of cool Adepticon things myself, too.
All right. Touch on briefly before we move to emails.
Jesus Christ. This is briefly, more than the 2 minutes that you had.
You got 12 seconds.
I got to see the new Mage Hunter unit, the Infiltrators.
7 seconds.
Michael Plummer was playing them. They were awesome. And
3 seconds.
I got to watch Jake Van Meter be awesome at Legion.
Okay, you're done. So,
wow.
I've played a couple of games with Infiltrators, and they seem pretty good.
Yeah.
They're Chaozzi, but better?
Well,
like, they don't have the underboss, which means they don't have the mini feeder duelist, but like the base unit for the
speed
same point
and
cost
Pathfinder.
is a speed point faster, has twice as many attacks, and is Pathfinder. That's not even counting the gimmicky mage assassin thing, is still good.
Not arcane assassin,
the mage killer.
But they
mage
have both.
Killer,
yeah, they have both.
Yeah, arcane assassin is clearly good, and they're one less power than Chaozzi.
Yeah, but most of the time, I think you're either going to attack infantry, in which case the power doesn't much matter, or if you're attacking heavies, the arcane assassin's probably going to more than make up for it.
Sure, I was just trying to defend the terrible Chaozzi. I actually think
Chaozzi
is
backstrike, because we have Ron, and that'd just be sick.
That's true. Chaozzi aren't terrible. They're overrated, I will say, is true.
Yeah, I don't think they're terrible, but I think they get into way more lists than they should.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, but they definitely are not an auto-include, but people bring them all the friggin' time.
Yep. People see the high defense, and they're thinking, oh, good.
Yeah, if they have Iron Flesh, they think, oh, I must take these no matter what. And I don't think that's true.
I think probably Pikemen are a better choice.
And a lot of lists, I think
Iron
that's
Flesh
true.
Pikemen is really cool, because then all of a sudden they got super high defense and armor. Yeah. Especially once that new solo comes out, and they'll be able to build a shield wall with the extra 2 inches of movement. Nice. Yeah. Are they speed 5 or speed 6?
Speed 6.
So they'll move 8 inches shield walling?
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. Legit.
I mean, there's no halberd years.
A lot of times they're still better off
with
running,
Iron Flesh.
But if you ignore the shield wall order on them, they're oftentimes better.
Yeah.
Well, except for the mini feet.
I think what that guy's actually going to make awesome is the Man of War with Shield Wall.
Yes.
He gives them a 50% speed buff while Shield Walling.
Yeah, quite a bit better.
That's kind of amazing.
And then you put Tactical Reform or whatever Supremacy on them, and all of a sudden they're moving up like 12 inches a turn.
Yeah.
Who's that? Epic Irusk? Does that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go.
Played my Kato in a long time.
That was more than 12 seconds. I'm upset.
You started talking.
I stopped you after 12 seconds, but other people with legitimate input talked. So emails, we just have a couple of them. I wanted to go over the first one. It's from Matthew Cole. He wanted us to recommend a web series that his high school buddy created. All right. So what's next?
So then we had another one from Mark G., who's apparently a Kiwi, which I assume means New Zealander.
You know what? I'll be nice, actually. I will say, not completely dismissive, you should watch this web series. I hear it's good. So you should watch the web series that Matthew Cole's buddy created. Okay? I legit recommend it.
Which doesn't...
Now by the way, this segment's a homage to Craig Ferguson. Here, I'm throwing it on the floor.
All right.
That's our list, though, of what we're doing.
So, no, it's not. He's got another sheet. So Mark G.
Right there.
Sent us an obligatory less than 3 for Katie, because he had to.
Pat in the litter
and
box.
Then he asked for a 25-point Craigslist, which, honest, none of us here play 25 points, clearly, since I got smacked around.
We don't even play 35.
I'll give him a 10-second answer.
Okay.
Iskar.
Yeah, Iskar.
No, he wants specifically Gorshade 1.
I was going to say, Gorshade 1, because you break... The lower the point value, the better Gorshade 1 is.
Tartarus, Bane Knights, Bane Thrall, or Bane Knights, Bane Knights, Tartarus.
Tartarus again.
5-point Ripja.
Gorshade, Bane, things.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're asking, what should I play Gorshade 1 at 25 points, the answer is you've already made the answer.
You
don't
need
help.
You're already winning.
Yeah, because you're breaking the
is Tartarus
you're
in your list.
25% up.
Yeah, is Tartarus in your list? You did it fine.
Yeah, bring Tartarus. Good point.
As we're talking about emails and that, have any of the folks that actually won our two previous contests
email us their address or
email
anything?
Email us their address?
Nope, they haven't.
Or say, meet me at Lock and Load?
Nope.
Because Andy will be at Lock and Load?
Nope. They should, though. They should do that.
Previous winners should do that.
Yeah. So speaking of previous winners, one of the emails we got, well, more than one, but were people who got the contest, the Swedish Muslim Jeremy contest, right, last week.
Yes.
They correctly identified it as
Stonehold, which Brun Cragback has as an upkeep spell.
That's true, which is amazing. And the big winner after we did our random drawing was a fellow named Anthony Tortorici. I'm probably butchering your name. So
Anthony Bibbidi Boobity.
Yeah. So shoot us your address. We'll get you some dice. That was the plan, right? Dice?
Yeah, dice. Yeah, I think it was a set of dice. Yeah. If not, let me know.
Yep. I think it was a set of dice. If not, correct us.
And speaking of contests, we have 1 week left, or we have to the 30th, or something on our...
I originally said the 30th, but the 30th falls on like a random Tuesday.
Yeah,
so
that's
fine. So there you go. A random Tuesday is when our
random
contest.
Tuesday.
That'll give us time to wrap it up before the podcast. That's good.
We have 50 entries so far.
Yeah.
So
there is... So far, it looks like those champions are running away with it. The
champions definitely have a lead. There was a Manoth model.
Yeah, the Manoth
model. There was a Manoth model that was amazing, too, early. That really one came in early.
Did Manoth John post his Cavalry Crusader on ours?
He did.
I love that thing. the exhausted googly eyes and tongue hanging out on the horse just make it for me.
I don't think Jim has actually seen it. I'll bring it up.
I don't.
He put a Crusader on a horse, and the horse just like, oh! It's a heavy jack riding a horse. It's beautiful.
And then our one last email was from Sam Hake. He just wanted us to give a shout out to their new gaming convention out in Denver called Feast of Blades. I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's Feast of Blades. So go look up the Feast of Blades event if you're in Denver.
Okay.
Done.
All right.
What?
I don't know. I don't
you
know.
Just completely ignored what we were talking about before.
I'm not going to see if I'm just saying.
No, he's talking about something else. He's talking about the contest.
No. I was talking about when we got Skype up and running. Of maybe having him be on Skype to talk about his.
Well, that would be awesome. So maybe we'll do that. But
okay,
Skype's in theory. It's like that awesome soundboard that you bought a month ago that just sits over there.
Yeah, that we still use.
It's like it's in theory.
It's there.
I am trying to make sure that we go through our emails. So now we went through our emails. Done.
All right, thanks for listening. We're done.
Good job.
See you next week.
And now all the emails are going to throw off the table.
Messes. Yeah, that's what you do with emails when they're done. You throw them on the floor.
I don't know.
And then your gay robot skeleton said something wacky.
Right.
And life goes on.
No.
And then
quickly, there's no time.
On. There's no time. Quickly. We will dance together. That's Liam Neeson. All right. Katie, end this madness. Say something.
Hi.
No, say a corner.
Hi for Katie's Corner.
Wait. As part of Katie's Corner. Are you going to use your sexy voice? Because apparently you have a very sexy voice on our podcast.
I thought her normal voice was the sexy voice.
Apparently.
Yeah.
We need a Katie's Corner's jingle still, don't we?
No, yeah, we need to make a Katie's Corner. Hey, somebody.
Bada boop, bada bing, bada boop.
That's a restaurant, not a jingle.
I just want to have one quick shout out before Katie's Corner.
Okay.
Because it was my second most favorite moment at
Depticon. Yeah, no, go ahead, that's good.
Which involved Stubbs.
Yep.
He's an awesome guy.
Agreed.
If you got to hang out with Stubbs, awesome.
I did.
But anyway, Nathan and I were sitting there with Travis. And Stubbs turns to Travis during the middle of the conversation and is like, hey, Sam, how you doing?
To be fair, right on his name tag, it said, call me Sam.
It's true.
I don't think it was actually on his name tag at the time yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think this was before that happened.
No, because it was after it happened.
It was after it happened.
Yep.
Oh,
either way.
It's still cool anyway.
It's
Stubbs,
cool.
Stubbs
and,
likes
and Stubbs
us.
Is
we
the
like
one
Stubbs.
That said Katie has a sexy voice. So.
Yep. And we like Stubbs, too.
That's true.
Right.
Do we really? You guys were... Oh, that was the other guy you were talking about before. I got confused.
Yeah, we like Stubbs. We don't like that other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're listening to this and you're a teenage boy from DeKalb, I have your Judicator and your unit of Daughters of the Flame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He left his iPod Mini on random tables several times throughout the course of the convention.
He's just trusting.
That's more money than sense.
he left his iPad Mini. I found it, gave it to him. I kid you not, 2 hours later, there was another iPad Mini given to me. From somebody who found it. It was the same goddamn one.
Well, at least you know whose it is now. Anytime you find an iPad Mini, you can be like, well, was it DeKalb's?
And as we were packing up, everyone's already gone. We're helping Privateer pack everything up, and there's a box with a blue Judicator in there.
And the Daughter of the Flame.
When Daughters of the Flame.
Nice.
Those two DeKalb kids faced off against Chuck and Jake in the team tournament.
Round one.
Round one. I was like, that was humorous.
Yeah.
Those poor children.
Yeah, poor Jake and poor Chuck.
Well, and then later, Jake and Chuck got Ashlyn killed by the spell Grind,
which they didn't
ask what it did. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, wait, what? Only do damage to a Cortex?
It's like it's before rolling damage, you do 1 point of damage to the motor, and then you apply damage.
Oh, and then
on a jack. But it's a power 14 spell as well.
Yeah.
So they just shot a power 14 spell in Ashlyn's face and rolled a, you know, a 16, 15 on dice. I Rusk or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they rolled 15 on three dice, probably with Wishnailer, just smoked her one shot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, when you have Chuck ask, what's that spell do? You know it's a good moment.
Yeah, that is a good moment.
Anytime you say, what does that do? Something's about to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, it's there followed by flowers and happiness.
No, it's not.
Sometimes.
Not usually.
Sometimes.
Not in a war machine.
No, not
in
a war Speaking of which, machine. Somebody should email Keith and ask him how many times he's lost to Crix. with Crix.
Recently?
So, yep.
In the RIA.
Pay them the $400 to get it read out loud on their podcast.
Oh, yeah, range, holy shit, range 10, pow 14?
Yep. Yeah.
That's a fuck of a spell.
Yep.
Now throw a
3 points.
Wishnailer on there.
Yeah, still, that'll zap your ass off.
Yep. But don't forget the most important aspect, it does a damage to the motor.
Yeah.
It does do a damage to the motor.
That is the key to that spell.
Well, I don't know. They're mercenary jacks that do damage to their own motors, so obviously it's a benefit to be able to do that.
Well, damaging their motor would be good for them, so it's a negative.
If you shoot a freebooter with grind, you're just doubling its own efficiency.
Right.
Like, if a Rusk... Can you take, like, Sam and the Devil... No, you can't take the Devil Dogs. You have to take a mercenary Jack Marshall with a Rusk so that the freebooter could destroy its own
Sam
motor.
Sam and the Devil Dogs, right?
No, Sam the Devil Dogs won't. It's a big fluff thing that they won't work for Kador.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kador fucked him over. But the point is you need to marshal a freebooter so that you can get rid of its movement as quickly as possible
right.
on your own activations.
You cast grind on the freebooter. Both its arms are probably going to fall off, so that's also a good benefit.
I'm on page 4 of the story of the Devil Dogs.
I really like that one.
Andy just pulled up the picture of the Crusader on the horse, and it is wonderful.
Its eyes are just so bulgy.
There's a Crusader sitting on its back. Really, it should just be like plastered on the ground, just like
with like its legs spread. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I've got a quick story.
Yeah.
Involving horses.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So we used to play a D&D game with a guy named Matt, and he was really hilarious. And his favorite spell ever was polymorph. So we're riding our horses from one town to the next, and we get into a fight, and we're still riding our horses. He says, "I think I'll cast polymorph and turn into a hydra." From on top of his horse. So that's pretty much like that, except for instead there's just horse guts
dead
everywhere.
Horse.
Yeah, yep. Dead horse after that. Yeah.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, he liked to polymorph into the stupidest things at the wrong time.
It was so great. The Hydra on the back of the horse was pretty epic, though.
Yes.
I was running a game of Deadlands once, and there was a jetpack lying on the ground, and one of the guys was like, "I jump on top of the jetpack and turn it on." Yeah. So he just torched both of his legs to hell. He expected some dramatic, like, fly out the building before the explosion went off. Instead, he just melted both of his legs and then died in an explosion.
Good plan.
Great plan.
Wins.
All right. So, Katie's Corner.
Right, yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead.
So the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about things that I think are leading up to threat assessment in general. And it's something that I personally struggle with just a ton. I always pick the wrong thing to be dangerous to my army. But what I was talking about with Jeremy on the way over is, you know, there's two ways to assess threat. And then you have to pick which one is best out of the two. There's what's the most important thing to their army that they can kill me with, and what's the most important thing with my army that I explain this better in the car.
What kills me versus what makes them run.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, no problem.
Now I'm worried Jim listens in on our car.
Well, there's that thing that he installed.
Ah, right.
I didn't ask too many.
It's called a baby monitor.
Oh, it's like a little infant lizard?
Yeah.
Baby monitor?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
God. Get it?
Cute.
It's a pun.
I like it.
Yeah. Go on.
But anyway, when you're facing off against an army, you need to be able to tell which of these things can really do damage and which things do I really need to take out. And as a new player, it's hard, and you learn specifics along the way. Like when I was playing with Brian, I learned that bile thralls are not a good thing. I should really take care of those first.
ASAP.
And then when I was playing against Nathan, like, Anastasia is dangerous. I need to take care of her first. But it's so cute.
Is that a baby monitor?
But it can change on a situational basis, because if I'm playing both a Gedorex and a Stalker and you have more infantry, then potentially my Stalker is going to be more dangerous to you because of Berserk than my Gedorex. But if you're running Beast Heavy, then obviously Gedorex will be a little bit more dangerous. So I kind of wanted to open it up to what you guys, how you guys threat assess, and what's the best way to decide what of your opponents you need to kill first. So go for it.
I told you to grab every War Machine and Horde's book and read every army.
I know.
And then you can figure it out.
I know. You're going to buy me yogurt for reading the rule book. I remember.
Is he going to give you a malted milk?
Malted milk.
But that doesn't help.
I know.
with this particular skill.
The key is to see if there's something that's really dangerous, and then that's the thing you should watch out for.
Well, right. But that's my advice.
That was sarcastic advice, Katie. Don't actually pretend
so
like that was
game one, you get killed by it, and game two, you're prepared for it.
Yeah. But what I was thinking of was, like, in my E. Kruger list, I have the Witch Doctor, which makes my little wolf guys undead. Wolves of Oberos. And so if you're going after my Wolves of Oberos, if you can get to my Witch Doctor, if I played him too far forward, I would kill him first.
That's the thing about all the threat assessment and taking out linchpins and stuff. That only gets you so far if your opponent is good at keeping those things safe.
Also, it's weird to look at where those linchpins are. For, like, example, you know, an Avatar Jack, or not an Avatar Jack, a Menoth Jack is really scary.
I think you said it right.
Yeah, an Avatar Jack. Yeah, so like a Protector of Menoth Jack, it's scary, whatever. And like, oh, I need to do something about the Avatar, et cetera, et cetera. But you also, hypothetically, the Choir are the real threat, because the Choir are making all their Jacks better. You know, so it's a matter of looking at whether you need to take out the support solo versus taking out the thing that the support solos are buffing. And sometimes that's a hard call to make.
The thing that's a real mind fuck is when you're like, okay, and like I've played Raven against Menoth and been like, okay, I'm just gonna take out the Choir, and I lost the game because I went for the Choir instead of.
Whereas instead other of times the Jacks, you beat your head against the wall trying to take out the Jack, and when in reality you could have crippled him by killing the Choir. It's all situational.
Well, like what I'm saying is I took out the Choir and it lost me the game, so it gets complicated.
Right, but
that's because you're playing the. I mean, Rhett has a different, because you have all the benefits versus Jax, where someone else doesn't. So for Rhett, it's better to go for the Jax, where for someone else, you probably want to go for the Choir.
Well, like another common example, if there's a unit of Bane Thralls that's really, really scary, you know, because they've got their Tough and their Dead Rising, and they're going to murder all your heavies because they're Dark Shroud and there's 11 of them. And then there's Tartarus over there, and he has Curse and makes more of them. Like, depending on the situation you're in and depending on what your list does, either of them is the correct thing to go after. The support solo, Tartarus, or the actual scary unit, the Banes.
And that one, yeah, a lot of times you're trying to kill Tartarus. Like, I'll trade an 8-point Jack for Tartarus in a lot of games against Kricks.
In our league finals, I used my feet to kill Tartarus.
Yeah, that's a cut and dry one. You see the Bane Lord Tartarus, you want to kill him, you want to kill the guy with two axes against
Bane Thralls.
If you're facing the Great Bears, there's a real cut and dry one of those to go after first. It's the guy with the helmet on, gives them the no knockdown part.
Yep, steady.
So, I mean, there are some models that if you look at the table, you see that one guy, and if the opportunity comes up, that's what you want to go for.
And sometimes you're playing a list that has like a lot of guns, and like if you're playing against the Texas Raiders, you want to kill the Raiders solo first, because the Raiders solo, or I'm not the
UA.
The UA makes the unit better. So it's a matter of kind of, okay, if I want to shoot, that model is really a big pain in my butt. But if you have a melee army, that model, it's still dangerous because it gives an extra die once a game on damage. But their defensive things don't.
Yeah, you're not really going to work to get to that model.
That falls into what you were saying about sometimes your Stalker's the threat and sometimes the Gedorix is the threat. What in your opponent's army is threatening has a lot to do with what your army is like.
And it's not just that. It's also there's scenario factors, there's positioning factors, terrain factors, so it takes a long time to learn that. But there are certain keys in some armies that you can try to get rid of.
Yeah, I would say there's some definite keys. Like, whenever I play Rhett, and somebody's got any kind of long-range sniper-type solo, which there's a lot of them out there, and that solo's just dicking around shooting, like, Sentinels or Halberdiers or whatever, and I've got two Arcanists on the table, I'm like, whee! You're not shooting my Arcanist. Like, people that are good against Rhett shoot at the Arcanist. They just do. If you've got a couple of shots, you
can put
towards
Arcanist. And then people that are good with Rhett don't lose their Arcanist.
Well, they hide them, right. I understand. But my point is, like, the same is true with Legion. Like, you'll be in a situation, especially late game, where in order for your Shepherds to be pulling off the Fury, they got to be right up in the mix. And, yeah, killing those beasts is great, but takes a lot of resources. Killing a shepherd, not that hard, and all of a sudden I can't run my beast that hot.
Yeah. Hopefully if it's in that position where the shepherds are in danger, you've had some retaliation against their beasts, and then the shepherds aren't as useful, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
I guess pretty much what we're talking about, too, is it's very difficult to really just pick up immediately what the threat assessments are. I mean, it's something that you really have to experience the first time, remember that experience, and apply it later on.
But, I mean, there are some situations. Like, if you have a specific army against or with, that you'd probably get some more concrete answers.
And I would say two things. Number one, I think, in my opinion, mastery of this one topic is the most important thing as far as scale of player skill. I think this is the most important ability to become a high top-tier player is knowing, number one, is being able to turn by turn, game by game, individual moment by individual moment, know what the biggest threat is, both to you from your opponent and to your opponent from you, and play based on that knowledge. So it's kind of hard to just dojo about because it's kind of a skill you have to build. And I would say the clearest way to build the skill is by not seeing those threats. Because like you said, you sure know Bile Thralls and Anastasia now. Like, you know those things are scary. I could say all day long that, you know, Mage Hunter Assassin is scary or whatever, but until one charges you and rolls three sixes and one-shots something, you're like, oh, okay, that's a thing to do. That's a bad example, I know.
It is,
but
a horrible example.
What's a better example of something like you just have to go, holy shit, and have it done to you?
Well, I mean, I think the Bile Thrall Purge is the supreme example of, okay, this is the thing I need to deal with first. You know, you got these little fat things, they're just kind of waddling around, you're like, okay, whatever. And then one of them gets close to you and you lose your whole army.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I've got to shoot them back until they're no longer in threat range before I take care of anything else. That's definitely a fact.
Or the first time you get Pete Krios pop and dropped and get shot with whatever that little light is that's like rat one.
Well,
three times in the face.
That 4-point heavy.
Yeah. How are you allocating your resources differently to deal with that, though?
So then as a Crix player, bounce off the bile. So as a Crix player, you know they want to clear bile throws.
Right. That's
so
where
when
it
you,
gets
when
layered.
You engage it, you have to give them every shot. Like, you give them every possible model in your army to shoot at once. So if they miss once or one thing happens, suddenly they fall apart. So you can't just say, okay, here are my bile throws, piece them apart. No, you give them all your bile throws, all your bane knights, all your bane, you know, your cav. You give
at
them everything at the same time. So they shut themselves going, holy fuck, and then they make a little mistake, and then you purge over their army.
Right.
Or they roll that one snake, or they allocate. They have to thin out their shots, so it's one shot per bile, and they get a snake eye.
That's the other thing, is an opponent can be like, okay, I know bile thralls are scary, and I'm going after that. And the Crix player can use that to their advantage. They can put a couple of bile thralls behind walls. They can make them really difficult. And while you're racking your brain trying to kill those bile thralls, they've been setting you up for something else the entire time.
Yeah.
So it is a layered question.
Yeah, it's just experience, really.
There's a lot of back and forth with threat assessment. Like, you can, you know, really say, you know, you can make somebody think something's a bigger threat, or, you know, depending on how they're assessing threats, you can pull them into traps with them.
I would say if you're playing at least a reasonably good player, it's a safe assumption that they have some sort of plan. So if you look at the table and you can't tell what they're trying to do, you're missing something. If they're at least a reasonably good player. I mean, there are players that just shove all their shit forward and hope for the best, whatever. And there are Crix armies, for instance, where that is the plan, is you just shove everything forward and then kill them with whatever's left. But most factions don't play that way. Most factions are, you have some sort of strategy, you have some sort of plan, what you're trying to do. And so the ability to actually, like, knowing that plan is there, especially if you're playing against a good player or a better player than yourself, knowing that plan is there does give you some advantage because you can look for it.
That kind of ties into that previous discussion we had, a previous corner talking about, I don't remember if it's specifically about net decking, or it's about building a list or whatever, where if there's something in a list, there's probably a reason it's there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone has Lunissa Rissel or whichever the Merc one is, I always mix up the Merc one with the
Legion. She's horrible.
I know she's horrible, but she's still a good example. She's this random 2-point solo that's wandering around. She's there to give free charge and +2 speed on the charge.
Yeah.
So they're happy.
Like, I took her in a list to try to make, because I thought it would be more important to get a charge than what I was charging. And so there was a purpose for her in the list.
So, you know,
she's still awful.
Which is fine, but it's still, like, the point is, you know, that there's a reason that they brought each specific model, each specific unit solo jack beast is has a reason for being that list. Nobody's ever like, I have 2 points, I'll throw in bleh. Like, they picked something worth 2 points that they specifically wanted or needed.
To be honest, if you want to know if something is a really big threat in general, is if all their list seems to have purpose, and then a couple of things are in the list that don't seem to go with it, it's probably because they're just individually very powerful.
Yeah.
Like what you were just talking about.
I throw Gorman in there.
Right.
You know, because Gorman's just good.
Yep. Like, there's no plan or grand strategy with Gorman. It's, I'm going to black oil something. It's going to fucking suck. That is the plan.
Fuck that.
So you see the little guy with the hat and the Darkwing Duck? Yep, you got to kill him. Yep, exactly.
Oh, which Travis was also nice enough to bring down to Adepticon. Oh, wait, he didn't.
Oh, no.
What do you want? Thanks, Travis.
Sorry we couldn't come up with a more satisfactory answer for that.
Well, I think the bottom line is play lots of things and remember what was a problem.
On Tuesdays, instead of podcasting, Paul said you're going to go to Misty and play, and I'll go and play.
It doesn't hurt to have a little notebook, a little cheat sheet. It's bad.
A cheat sheet helps, and actually participate in the tournaments.
Brian was saying, reading through the books helps, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
And if you know what stuff does, like, you know a bile thrall explodes in a 6-inch radius and does a power 12, if you know that, it's like, that's going to kill everything in that 6 inches.
It's exciting just when you go home, have Jeremy read you rule book stats, model stats.
At bedtime.
Just read rule books to you to go to sleep.
Well, and you guys joke about me like making my notes and stuff in my Excel that I track my games, but like the fact that most
we make fun of the length of your notes.
Well, that's possible too. I think most
and the meticulousness
when they're
of
new
them.
Gamers don't take any note on their games, and so an hour after they played the game, they don't know why they lost, they don't know what they did well, they don't know what they did badly.
Well, that's why I recommend Iron Grudge on a previous
Iron
episode.
Iron Grudge or a notebook or
so
anything.
So if you're taking a college class, are you going to take notes?
I didn't, but I'm a bad example.
Well, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take an outline, and then a day after your class or several hours after your class, you go back in and you fill it out. Mm-hmm. And that's how you remember what it is.
So you just answered your question. You want to learn how to assess threats? Do that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Like anything you want to be good at, you're going to take notes at.
When I sit at the table, I write down the list I played against. I already have written down the list I'm going to play. And I make a note that I want on a scenario or whatever. And then the next day when I put it in my Excel, I fill in the details of what I remember was a bad point or a good point.
And not everyone needs to sit and write out notes, but you have to somewhere have notes. Like, everybody at this table has mental notes that they've been taking and thinking through after every single game. And just jotting down a couple of them really triggers your memory.
Or plugging them into Iron Grudge is really the...
Yep. And that's a legitimate way to track stuff.
Yep. It's a good really tool. Nice way.
What I've found that helps me cement things is after a game is asking the person I just played, like, what did I do well? What did I do poorly? Yeah. What could I have done better? Et cetera, because then it makes you rethink all of the movements that got you to that position in the first place.
And a lot of times they're probably telling you your threat assessment questions while you needed to, you know, kill Tartar so you couldn't
killed me.
Curse you or whatever. Yeah.
At tournaments, people ask you that. I get that at a lot of tournaments too sometimes. And if it's a really long day, like, what did I do wrong? I'm like, everything. Sorry.
Yeah.
Brian is zero help when it comes to things like that.
I usually
a lot of
just
tell
them I get lucky. So, yeah. I was just lucky.
It's really good for like pickup games or something that when we're down at game night, asking for help during a review of a match.
I will say, as a new player, I really hate kibitzing when people walk up and tell me something that I could be doing.
Then either you feel bad for not knowing to do it, or you feel bad because you didn't. You would have maybe thought of that, but now you can't implement.
Now you're
it.
Like obligated not to because it looks like
I'm the world's worst kibitzer though. So and, I can't really
with her much. Specifically, Jeremy sure does like to kibitz.
I'm pretty bad about it.
I think she's using this podcast time to tell Jeremy not to do this ever again. Go ahead.
If Jeremy does it again, I'll bring up
like
his dark secret, and he'll be crying in
the
corner.
You didn't come up with it.
Right.
You know, I've got another great magic story to follow up with left my keys in my running car. We were watching a kid play, and we were kibitzing every single one of his turns. Like, oh my god, why did you do that? You should have done this, this, and this. The next turn, he would take his turn, and he'd do this, this, and this, what we just said, and it was completely wrong for that turn. And we'd be like, oh, my God, now you had to do this, this, and this. And he'd do it again. He did it like 3 or 4 times. Trying to listen to somebody's play-by-play instructions and do it is not –
Because if you don't know why, you don't know why you're doing it.
You have to know why, not worse, what.
Like you'll go in a game and you have like a 5-step plan, and someone's like, well, "Why don't you do like you know step 7?" You're like, "But you start thinking about that other step that they mentioned, but it really has nothing to do with what you want to do." So then you get off kilt because you're like,
"I've had people so many times after games like, why didn't you do this? I don't know. I was playing a game. You know, I won it. That's why I did it."
Yeah.
So,
but
if you see a new player and they ask for your help. And you're like, okay.
Don't give it to them.
That's fine if they ask, but a lot of times it's kind of like...
Smack them in the face.
You never give them the opportunity.
Well, you can do like the Socratic method. You can go like, well, what do you think was the correct thing to do that situation? Why was that the correct thing to do the situation? What if you did this instead? You know, if you have them...
Well, yeah, that works if you already got to do what you wanted to do, but if you're in the middle of something and then they come up and they're like, you should do this.
What I'm saying is, you were talking about if somebody asks for help.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, well, you should just do this, this, and this, and that doesn't tell them why. You know, like I'm saying, the why is more important. That's the whole point of the Socratic method, is that if you can get the student to come up with the correct answer when you ask questions as opposed to answering their questions.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that.
There are technical details that some people just are missing on knowledge, and those things can be really helpful from those questions, though, after the game. Like, just simple technical stuff.
Yeah. I do want to mention two quick anecdotes of learning a new threat that I had. One I was on one side and one I was on the other. One in Mark 1, the first time I encountered Bane Knights, and I just shoved a whole unit of Creel Warriors into the unit of Bane Knights. First Creel Warrior attacked a Bane Knight who killed a different Creel Warrior, and I said, the rest of them aren't attacking. Because I hit him, I did no damage, and he killed a Creel Warrior, and I'm like, oh, fuck, never mind. And then the next turn, he just wiped out everything.
I think that was everybody's first experience with Bane Knights in Mark 1.
And then the positive one for me the other time around was when two Steelhead Heavy Cavalry wrecked a fresh avatar of Menoth. I'm like, yeah, that'll happen. So that guy now knows to watch out for Steelhead Heavy Cavalry.
I'm stealing your rock bottom.
You can't steal my rock bottom. I need him. He's one of the models in the list that I'm keeping.
Buy a new one.
Why wouldn't you just buy a new one?
I'm stealing yours. It's free.
Okay, you have fun with that.
You could smuggle it in a Twinkie.
He just gave me permission.
Okay, sounds good. You steal my rock bottom. I'll get a new one.
All right.
I'll steal Andy's.
I'm telling you,
I'll
smuggle
Jim's.
It out in a
Jim's
Twinkie.
Is well painted.
Proven successful.
There's no more Twinkies. I can't no longer use that method.
Somebody bought the recipe.
Well, yeah, that'll be Twinkies someday, and then I will shove all of Jeremy's models in a Twinkie.
Twinkies aren't the problem with Hostess being gone. I miss the pies. Those
all
horrific
garbage.
9 million calorie frosted pies with chocolate pudding inside of them, or the cherry pie filling. Cherry, lemon, and chocolate were the three.
I liked the custard, too.
I enjoyed the apple, too. They were all
good.
The apple is my least favorite.
Yeah.
I'm actually not a big
apple pie guy in general. I mean, apple pie is good because it's fucking pie.
Right.
But if I had to choose pies, it would not be the top of the
Apparently,
list.
Apparently, one big thing is cheddar cheese melted on top of apple pie.
Yeah.
And I know cheddar and apple are really good together.
It's a Wisconsin thing.
No, it's an East Coast thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think
cheddar
it'd be a Wisconsin
apple pie
thing.
Is an East Coast thing.
You'd think it'd be a Wisconsin
thing.
You can get it because it's spread, but it originated on the East Coast.
Right. And then somebody from Wisconsin's like, put cheddar on it? Duh.
Done.
Yeah.
That noise you heard was Andy discovering a cat bug t-shirt. I'm not going to explain that anymore. I'm just going to say that Andy just discovered a cat bug t-shirt and came in his pants.
And the table.
Yes.
All right, so that was very uninformative Katie's Corner.
Well, yeah,
play.
It's a nebulous topic. The best advice is just to, if you play a lot, you'll learn these things. Rick, from our meta, one of the press gangers, he has something I do agree with, which is whether you win a game or lose a game, if you know why, it was a successful game.
Yep.
And that's true.
And yeah, a paraphrase of that is just learn something every game.
Yeah,
right.
And to do that, you got to play a lot of games.
Yeah,
well,
like,
not to learn something every
week.
Game.
Why are you looking at me like that, Jim?
I actually get 4 a week: 2 on Tuesday, 2 on Wednesday. We're not
right.
Texans; we can't do 20 a week.
Well,
those people are insane.
Still not a job.
Okay.
Yeah, you do have to get your models out occasionally and play. That does help.
I just like to take long breaks in between when I play.
Jordan texted me, asked if anyone's going to the games for tonight. I'm like, well, the six of us aren't going to be there.
I told Jordan we were podcasting tonight.
Well, he's like, is anyone
not? Well,
if
he would have texted me, I would have went down there.
He can play with Glenn, Malachi, and Ben.
Killbox,
yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Nobody posted.
Jordan, Ben, Malachi, and Glenn.
That's really
said that we could have posted our podcasted yesterday and that I would do it. And then everyone was like, let's just skip on.
No, because the thing is, if we podcasted at like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, we're getting into logistics talk again. Let's stop
well,
right
then
now.
Then I couldn't
and
watch
on.
Game of Thrones. I still haven't watched this week's Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
and I hear
we
it's
need
a
to
good
wrap
one.
It up so we can go watch it.
Well, then we have to move on to recommendations.
I watched it already. I'll tell you all about it right now.
It was amazing.
I recommend you watch
recommendations.
It.
Can
we have something for recommendations?
I think Andy has something for recommendations. He's staring at it right now.
All right. Andy, take it away.
Well, I didn't want to do it right now.
Okay.
No, actually, my recommendation is The Bravest Warriors, which is available on a awesome channel called Cartoon Hangover on YouTube. There are 5-minute cartoons, and it involves Catbug.
There's only 11 in the first season, so you can watch the whole thing in an hour.
Yep. It is an amazing... It's done in the same style of animation as Adventure Time. So if you like Adventure Time, because Adventure Time is kind of a little wacky, this is probably a little bit more wacky, probably a little bit more adult humor in it. Yeah, it is great.
You know what I thought about, like, after we watched the whole thing and I was sitting there, I was thinking, it was like if Adventure Time and the original, not the full-length half-hour version, but the original, like, two-minute snippet versions of Aeon Flux had a baby.
Yes.
It's as bizarre and nonsensical, and sometimes the main characters just die as Aeon Flux and as wacky as Adventure Time.
Yeah. And it does have a gas-powered stick.
Never runs out of gas.
Never runs out of gas.
Like a car? With a stick shift.
No, it's just a stick.
It's a gas-powered stick.
And it's really just a stick, but it's called the gas-powered stick, and he keeps hitting people with it, and it never runs out of gas.
Seems pretty good.
Seems pretty good
indeed. Is it a holy weapon?
It might be.
It's held by an impossible bear.
If you're trying to figure out any logic or sense, there is none. It's complete nonsensical, which is fun sometimes.
Maybe it's not a pipe wrench. It's a stick.
It's just a stick.
Oh, it must not be holy then?
No. Pipe wrenches are holy, apparently. That's something you're making the claim of, so I'll just roll with it.
Yeah.
Frailty? No one? Oh, my God.
Sorry. So, my recommendation...
That wasn't a pipe wrench, it was a lead pipe.
Oh, sorry.
He had a lead pipe, some work gloves, and an axe. And that's an impossible bear holding a gas-powered stick.
Yep.
I don't see where the gas is.
It's inside, but it never runs out of gas.
Never runs out of gas.
Just, let's not dwell on this. If you want to get high and watch a goofy cartoon, or if you want to watch a goofy cartoon without being high, you should watch this goofy cartoon.
Yeah, especially episode 9 through 11, because it involves Catbug, and Catbug is awesome.
And voiced by a 5-year-old kid, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yoo-hoo!
All right, that's it. Bravest Warriors.
I have a half a recommendation first. I think I recommended Dragon's Dogma within the last 2 weeks.
You did.
But they have the new version is out, which is basically the same game with a bunch of added stuff to it. It's amazing. So that's my half recommendation is upgrade. Throw away your Dragon's Dogma copy. Go buy the new one. It actually gives you the original copy with it. And you get a bunch of credit if you have the original game. You get a bunch of like in-game stuff since you're buying the game again. You're basically buying the game a second time for $40.
What?
So they give you a bunch of stuff in game. Here's a bunch of free shit. It's just better with what they did with it.
So it's like a new version. It's not just a DLC.
Like, it's like 1.5. It's like 1.5. They tweaked interfaces a little bit and they just added things all over the world. And
I actually kind of like that because I never got around to buying it in the first place.
Yeah. Strongly recommend playing the game. It's a lot of fun. It gives you that old school feeling of just suffering through. It's a lot of pain and suffering in epic fights. So that's my half recommendation. My full recommendation is there's a new show on Netflix, a horror series. They had the House of Cards, which had Kevin Spacey, which was really awesome. Their new one's a horror-based theme called Hemlock Grove, I think. My recommendation is do not fucking watch that. Run away from that piece of shit pile of garbage. You're welcome.
It's like olives.
Yeah, it's like olives. It has Femme Jackson, I think her name is. They have other people. Anyway, it's terrible. It's awful. It's not worth it. You watch it, you're like, well, maybe get better. No, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
The terrible thing about people watching stuff like that or eating olives is then it gets on your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, keep it away from me. It's horrible.
You know,
I almost bought a whole new jar of olives today.
We got Papa John's pizza and... I like pepperoni and green peppers on my pizza.
Nick's looking at us right now.
And they
put
like pineapples and olives and all sorts of nonsense over on my side and on Jeremy's side.
Pineapple on pizza is the best thing ever.
That was green peppers and pepperoni.
And one bite of an olive that got mostly picked off will still ruin that piece
of
pizza.
It does. It completely destroys you. Yeah, it's horrible. It's just, you can't even...
Oh, whatever.
It gets into the juice. Like, the olive juice gets into your cheese. Your
Like, you take a bite of it, and you're like, what died on my pizza?
It adds that smoky, salty, wonderful flavor.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, black olives on pizza is great.
But
black olives on Subway subs is also great. I don't eat black olives just raw as crudité, but I sure as heck do like them on anything.
Like, I chisel them off my pizza, and then you miss a little piece, and it just ruins the whole
thing.
Nathan,
you haven't been very racist this week. You haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. We're supposed to be half drunk and racist.
Yeah, you haven't insulted someone yet.
Well, that's funny. You said you haven't been racist this week. You haven't insulted a country. just for the record.
It was that or. I said bored. Okay. It was
just
an
for
or.
The record, countries are not racist.
Those damn dirty British.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, the black countries are.
Ooh, speaking like, of recommendation, British. My recommendation this week is British.
Cock and balls.
That's not my recommendation.
Is it fish and chips?
No.
Is it the apples and pears?
No.
Do you know what apples and pears are?
No.
It's the stairs.
Is it apples to apples?
It's Cockney rhyming slang.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's apples to apples.
No, it's the stairs are your apples and pears. It's true.
Cockneys are weird.
A lot of the phrases that we use that don't make any sense are offshoots of Cockney ramming slang.
Ramming slang?
Ram.
Yes.
Lance, edit out Nathan.
Yeah. No, it's fuck you.
My recommendation is a Borderlands recommendation. I played my Siren for a very long, long time, and she's never done any amount of damage.
Right.
I picked up a B shield with her because that makes anything do damage. And I was experimenting with it, and the interaction between a B shield and an elemental weapon doesn't sound like it'd be good. Like, oh, I put a damage over time on them when all my damage is coming from the B.
Does the B buff the damage over time?
Nope. It does one better. If you shoot an enemy weak to fire with a fire weapon, it normally does like double damage. It also doubles the B's damage.
So it like quadruples it?
Yep. It's broken. And then you slag them and you're basically doing 8 times damage.
Wouldn't it be 16 times damage because slag is quadruple, not double now?
It is. Yeah. No, it's
so
insane.
It's 16 times damage if you shoot something slagged with
it. Yeah, I'm rolling around with my Siren who has no latent ability to do damage and she's putting up like 1.6 mil shots on stuff. It's completely insane. So if you want to make your Siren fun to play, go farm your B shield, elemental weapons, and then just rock, paper, scissors the enemy. You get the 3 spots to play rock, paper, scissors, and you get the 4th one for the nuke. So, and literally a nuke them there is good too.
Yeah,
so.
You can even have slag on your melee so you don't have to fill one of your slots with
it. No, I go down the ruin tree, and every time I phase lock them, they slag.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Yeah, it's disastrous for them.
But the mind control skill isn't in that tree at all.
Oh, yeah, I might have
you to
respec. You
need to respec,
then.
Yeah, you need to respec out of that.
And if people are really interested in a Siren build, you can get me on Muse on Minis, just PM absent, and I'll give you my Siren build.
I'm just saying, if you spend like 30 skill points, you can make it so one of the enemies stands there picking his nose for 3 seconds and then murders you.
That's right, yeah.
Like, that's a pretty good use of
way better than
points.
Lifting them out of cover and killing them.
Yeah.
I'm way better.
What, do you want to lift them out of cover, kill them, slag them, suck all the other enemies towards them so that they're all like thrown off guard and weakened and everything?
And when it's an AoE slag, so you suck them in and it blows up and slags
them
all.
That seems way worse than having them jerk off for 3 seconds.
Yes, it is. Well, if you want to buy them lotion and Kleenex.
Yeah.
That's a good gift, I think.
So my recommendation is fix your Siren with the B and elemental weapons.
My recommendation this week is more of a general one. So recently it's really hit home that nobody's going to fight for you except for yourself. So if there's, at work or whatever. So if there's something that you think you deserve and you can prove that you've earned it in some way, you know, you need to speak up and let your boss know, like, this is what I want. This is, why I think I deserve it and really push for it. Because if you don't, they don't really know that you're even interested and may not even be aware about what you're doing. So fight for yourself. That's my recommendation.
Next week, Katie, looking for a new job.
Next week, recommendation, hire me.
Yeah. don't send it for yourself. You get fired.
that it?
That yeah, is. That's actually, it. I've had a lot of job experiences. I don't if this is an interesting topic, where I could have probably said something and got a change, but instead found a new job. And you could really make a job better by saying, hey, this is going really wrong right now, and just talking about it would probably help quite a bit.
Right, because a lot of times they don't have the same experiences that you have, and they mm-hmm. won't notice things that aren't functioning correctly.
Right.
Yeah, if you say
you can't do it every day.
Yeah.
And don't if you can, do it without being confrontational. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Legitimately, you know, discuss and say, hey, these are some issues. Let's talk about them. Let's
right.
see what's up.
Yeah,
and,
can we fix this?
And it's always important to say, this is a
now,
problem, and here's and have a solution prepared. If you say this sucks and that's it, you've lost that discussion.
Right.
With
right.
whoever
or if you say this sucks about everything, you're just not
well,
going to ever
a complainer.
Be listened to. Yeah.
But on the other note, if you find something that is working really well, make sure to point that out to them, too.
Yeah, that's a fact as well.
Because oftentimes what will happen is something will be working really well, and they don't know that that's fantastic, and so they'll change it for whatever reason, and they don't know what that impact is.
By
so,
the way, this whole conversation is also applicable towards sexing.
Yes, that's true.
Just bring up constructive advice and tell them when they're doing something right.
Get rid of the banana.
Right.
And again, what? Brian with the fruit jokes.
Always, always.
Hey, it's been many jokes. Episodes. I've held back the.
He's banned from every produce section in the state.
But I mean, it works in lots of facets of life. That you know, if there is being open about communication and how you feel about something, and just bringing it up in a non-confrontational well
works in
way.
Podcasts too.
It does. It's important to say "I feel like" instead of.
Yeah, don't say we should think. Say I think or
yeah.
Because
it's less confrontational. Yeah, but I wanted to use a different word, but I couldn't think.
It's
of
it's more open to communication, like you said too. I don't know.
So
yeah, there's better words to use for it.
Yeah, but anyway, that was my recommendation for this week. You can go to another, like the nebulous topics.
That was a good one. Yeah, that'll definitely go into miscellaneous. Unless I create a job advice section.
Well, I mean, it could.
I read it. You go under live entertainment. About, he throws all kinds of shit under live entertainment.
I still haven't fixed
functional
that.
Functional stupidity.
I still need
it
to
was
fix
hilarious.
That.
What's that?
Where too many smart people taking place in too many directions is really damaging. If everyone kind of is just like, let's just get it done, and like act more stupid, more gets done. It's kind of hilarious.
Hmm.
It's, less clashing, probably.
Yeah, yeah, you know, well, yeah. And all the jobs I've been successful at, like, if something needs to be done, I just do it. I don't figure out who's at fault. I don't figure out the best way to do it. I just fucking do it, whatever.
Well, a lot of times if you see something that's wrong with your job or a way to make it easier and you take the initiative to fix it, they'll look at that as being good as opposed to bad.
Yep.
So. Also, just throwing this in here for the quota, Botswana is dumb.
Done.
Goddamn Botswana.
To hell with Botswana. Everyone in Botswana is bad at driving and is ugly.
I concur.
What's the little island out in like the Indian Ocean that's sinking?
Australia.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. There we got the real one for you.
Jeremy?
All right. So my recommendation, it's actually been around a long time. It's a TV show. It's British, but it's available on Hulu. That's how I found it. It's a show called Misfits. And I'm specifically going to recommend the first three seasons. I feel like in a lot of ways it kind of went off the rails in season four. Season five isn't yet available on Hulu.
Season four is a little crazy.
Season four is a little weird. Well, and they lost my favorite character.
Is there a season five of that show?
Well, there's going to be, according to IMDb.
All right.
But
I was going to download it right now if there was.
My favorite character wasn't in season four anymore because he's hilarious. You know who I'm talking about. He's always shown in the middle of all the promos, like the main picture guy.
From one and two? The guy was in one and two?
Yeah, he's in one and two.
The Scottish kid.
The Scottish kid. And, like, season three was still good, even without him. And then it was like, oh, man, it's not as good as it was without him. Let's do crazy things in four. And it went off the rails.
Spoiler alert, the Scottish guy isn't in season three and four.
Yeah,
so if you grow attached to him in season one and two, he probably, like, dies or something.
Well, some in British shows, people leave their shows a lot. Like, one lady got in. Well, it's funny. They're all doing, like, community service.
I've seen them on several different shows now.
Yeah. And one of the ladies that wasn't in season four as much, she got in trouble because she was in season three, but she was in four because she got in trouble and had to do community service.
Yep.
So she wasn't on the show because she was actually doing community service.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
One nice thing about Misfits is if you watch Game of Thrones, there's a new character that was introduced in the last few episodes that's a really hot slave.
Yep.
And you get to see her naked butt on an episode of the Misfits.
It's true.
So that's handy.
I was going to squeeze in a recommendation for IT Crowd or the IT Crowd.
Oh. IT Crowd's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should. If you needed to be recommended IT Crowd, I feel bad for you.
And that's on the Netflix,
it's
so
on
you can
the
just
Netflix.
Watch IT Crowd.
Yeah. Well, you can
and
watch
if you
Hulu
like
too,
if you like IT Crowd, like 50% of that staff is on a show called Girth Marenghi's Dark Space, and that show is also fucking amazing.
There's a new show too. It's got that one. The gal and
White.
The gal is on everything.
She is. She was in Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, my actual recommendation, since everyone piled on, was Misfits.
It's good.
British TV in general. They got some good shows.
They have some awful stuff.
They have some awful stuff, too.
They've got a lot of their humor's awful.
It's on an alternate BBC channel where, because they have a lot of, that show has a lot of nudity and swearing.
Oh, yeah. It's got a ton of nudity.
It's on like BBC HBO.
Yeah, I mean, it is HBO for British
people. It's still public TV, though, over there.
Yeah,
you know.
They don't have the censorship we do.
I'm just saying. But certain BBC channels are better. The channel that show is on is just ridiculous because they're constantly just doing horrible things.
From my understanding, there's a time when they can show those shows over there.
Yeah,
they,
probably after 9 or something.
During
yeah.
normal prime time, yeah. It's like 10 o'clock at
night.
And
this show's on Hulu, and I did watch it at work, but I will say it's probably NSFW.
Luckily, Jeremy cares not about his job.
And then it's super not safe for work.
He likes seeing naked old women, which that
no,
show
I really don't.
Unfortunately gives to you.
That show does give
Misfits.
It to you.
Misfits. Yeah. Now, yeah. I just finally took note of it.
Yeah. Well, see, that's funny because my recommendation was going to be looking at naked old people.
Well, and yeah, Jeremy, goddamn thief.
Don't discount the elderly as lovers. They're tender. They're experienced.
Oh, willing to try a lot.
Willing to try a lot. They have tried a lot. They can take their teeth out.
That doesn't seem to help me.
Ooh, I'm sure you can think of a way it would help.
Yeah.
As much.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good recommendation, Nate.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we're going to have that guest here soon?
Yeah, sure.
Did Nate not have a recommendation?
Really? I just recommended having sex with old people.
I am not putting, I'm going to put that in the thread right underneath the other recommendation you said you didn't make.
Live entertainment.
No, right under the other recommendation
no,
you
No, sex with old people needs to go under live entertainment. That is actual live entertainment.
Until it turns to dead entertainment, that's a whole other problem.
Next week, Nate's recommendation, some necrophilia.
Yeah.
Ew.
From bait flicks to old people to necrophilia.
Why? He's just following the steps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, he's just skipping middle age.
he said from 15 to 90. I'm sorry, 13 to 90. I apologize.
It's European.
Is that gonna,
speaking of 13
is
to 90.
Is that going
to
be your...
speaking of 13
speaking
to 90.
Speaking of 13 to 90, what? Go on.
No, it was just funny because Jim, we passed Jim on the way here today and we were waving at him. He was like, I was staring at a jogger. I'm not sure she was 18 or not, but I was staring really hard at her.
Talk about not 18.
Actually, I think you might have passed me somewhere else, but she was right down like along your road and oh my God.
Yeah, we went to the mall. To the mall for lunch the last day of Adepticon, and Nathan almost fell down staring. Like I've never seen, like you know, in the comics where they like take their eyes out and put them on the table. No. Like Nathan did that.
Okay, so I was facing one direction. They were on the other side of the table, all looking towards me. Something walked past me, and I did a double take, and my eyes locked on like Target yoga pants. Hello. And so it walks over there, and they're all making fun of me. Oh, stop staring at you, blah, 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 blah. And then it gets up, and it walks past us the other direction, and all of them are like, whoa!
Yeah.
Like, yeah, see, hypocritical much?
I like how the girl in your story is an it.
Yeah, I know. I did that on purpose to see if it would make you mad.
So I'm pretty sure yoga pants in a lot of cases are better than naked.
Oh, yeah.
They, like, form everything.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. They, yeah.
Like, who decided
that
was
them
popular?
They flatter.
Yeah, who thought that was, like, a good going out outfit?
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys hear, who was it that, one of the...
Oh, cool story, cool. Katie. Katie.
Remember that failed conversations thing we talked
but
about?
One of the brands that's out there...
Coca-Cola?
Nike.
No,
you're talking about the yoga pants
Coca-Cola.
That people can see through.
Yeah,
yes.
But in
yes.
order to return them, you had to bend over in front of a sales associate, and they would determine whether or
them.
Not they were see through.
I want that job.
Return policy.
No, well, the issue, Jim, is quality control. Fair enough. A lot of people who buy yoga pants.
You're like,
should not be wearing
like,
yoga
no,
pants.
No, I trust you. I trust you, sir.
I trust you, sir.
Yeah, I trust you.
It's just like John Goodman comes in. I want to return these yoga pants.
Hey, John Goodman has lost a lot of weight.
I still don't want to see him bend over. I love John Goodman. He's amazing in Barton. He's amazing in all the Coen Brothers movies he's in. I don't want to look at his batch.
Speed Racer, right? Am I thinking of the right
more like a ninja.
Oh, my God. He was lights out in that. Him and Susan Sarandon made that movie.
Yeah. That movie.
And, wait, Christina
and
Ricci.
The girl who played his love interest.
Christina Ricci.
No, the other one.
Oh, Nate. So one thing about the jogger is... I'm not sure
Brian
she was 18. I'm not sure the jogger was 18, but I know she wasn't 8. That's a fact.
Good. I'm glad that we have lines.
Puberty hits young.
Wow.
Wow. We're
gonna grind it to a halt.
Yep.
Yeah, good job, Jim.
I'm blaming all of you. I don't even have a real recommendation. That just occurred to me.
Nope.
How was I going to do it? Because you complained that I had too many recommendations.
Well, you usually have like 3 a week, so.
Well, that's time. I build up a buffer. I'm not going to recommend anything this week.
But you're recommending old people.
Okay,
yeah,
you
recommended
as long
something.
As you put it under live entertainment.
I'm pretty sure your actual recommendation was yoga pants.
No, dude, well, depending. Send me photographs. I'll tell you whether you should be wearing yoga pants or not.
Of John Goodman wearing yoga pants.
Send pictures of yourself in yoga pants to podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Oh,
and we'll tell you whether or not you should
hashtag
wear
yoga
pants.
Yeah.
Judging by
you
our
know what?
Listener audience, this could be a terrible mistake.
No, I like this idea.
I like it.
We might
post
be able to actually
on our Facebook.
Trend with hashtag yoga pants.
Three dice to every entry.
No.
Not
no.
Our dice. Just some dice.
I want pictures of yoga pants. Make it happen.
That's right. Send a picture of yourself in yoga pants and your address to Nate.
Yes.
And I'll send you a surprise.
A surprise package.
I might hand deliver my surprise package.
Oh. Seriously?
Dressed as Spider-Man.
You'd be like Pluto from Animal House.
Yeah.
I should go buy some yoga pants now.
You should.
Add
at Target.
Okay. Yoga pants and then Civil War.
Yes, up top. Yes.
And a hat.
Keep the face.
A hat with a feather in it.
I would think you're homeless.
That'd be the best outfit of all time. That guy is crazy.
So our guest.
Yes, it's time for another entry in the guess whatever gibberish thing.
Please email your guesses. To podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Only if they have a picture
if you
yoga pants.
If you include a picture of yoga pants, it counts as two entries.
Please, God, do
it
not
counts
send a
as
of
two
yoga pants.
Entries.
Oh, my God, this is terrible.
So you're
whatever.
Just making it so I don't check the mail for the next forever.
Yeah. We can never look at our email again.
The new email address will be crippledsystem2.
I don't even know what that means. In midfits, somebody headbutts Hitler, right?
Misfits?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That definitely right, happened.
Cool.
That's in season 4, isn't it, though?
That's when she gets weird.
It's the end of 3.
Yeah. Anytime people
that's better than leaving him in a cupboard. That's so disappointing.
She just punches the fuck out of him.
She does.
It's the right thing to do. You're supposed to, like, prevent the war or whatever, but I would just punch the shit out of Hitler.
Yeah, that's why it's so great. It's just a stupid little moment. It's awesome.
It is pretty fantastic.
Also, on a side note... Enemy men are cases, burning enemies, when it's made us controller. Enemy men are losing one permit point, enemy men lead one permit point.
All right.
He looks so serious when he gives these things.
Well, you know, that's
it's a key segment.
He's proud of his heritage.
It's like he's going to the bathroom while he's talking.
For the record, we don't know.
You don't know that
sure
he's not.
That's why he smiles so much.
I got nothing else. I want to go watch Game of Thrones. It was supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, let's go watch it. Done.
All right. Send yoga pants.
Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Yoga pants.
Bye.